Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Need fast, reliable car care in Greenwood? Visit Pennzoil Lube & Go on Highway 82 West behind Allstate Insurance. Get a quality oil change plus free mount and balance with the purchase of four tires. Family owned and operated, we handle brakes, AC service, and more. Pennzoil Lube & Go, where we go the extra mile.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Sunday edition of the podcast. My name is Michael Borky. As always, glad that you are with me. Training camp week two getting underway as most of you guys are listening to this. Again, I know the overwhelming majority of you are listening in podcast form. So training camp week two is here. But tonight, we're not necessarily talking about practice stuff. Now, I know that there's going to be some comments and we'll get to those. But you got two things memorializing, if you will. That's probably not the best way to put it, but we now know who's going to be hopefully wearing the number 38, but we know who won the Chucky Mullins Award, and Archie Manning going to get a statue next to the Manning Center. Imagine that. So we'll talk about that and then get to your comments and then anything else that comes up training camp-wise. And I'll tell you what, Perkins getting the Chucky Mullins reminded me of something that you guys have heard me talk about this offseason some already, but this is a team that I think should be, and it is hopefully, but the context of how this team was put together, I think should be celebrated more, even more from the fan base. And so we'll talk about that as well on this edition of the show. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast, just search Rebel Report. And if you like what you hear, subscribe and leave a rating and a review. Also right here on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Hit the notification bell. We're getting closer to the season, and I'm so excited. Please come see me and Hey Dad for the radio show, the Not Fall Camp Tour, the Pearl River Resort Not Fall Camp Tour. We'll be in Starkville Tuesday, so tomorrow as most of you are listening to this. And then Oxford on Tuesday the 18th. Please come by and see us. I'll have some stuff to give away as well. We have golf trips and hotel rooms at Pearl River Resort, super tall hats, stuff like that. So I'll be really working hard on that guest list this week. Already been talking to Ole Miss about some things anyway. And so, yeah, I'm going to put that together this week. So I'll give you guys a better idea of what that's going to actually look like besides just Hey Dad and I. So please come see us. I would love to see you there. This edition of the show is brought to you by Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden in Saltillo, Mississippi. We had some fun on Friday talking about Saltillo on the radio show, by the way. That was, you guys have corrected me enough. I finally have gotten it right. And the people at Scruggs get it right with everything that involves your home or your property or your land or your backyard or your garden. They've got you covered. Literally anything that you need, it's under one roof. Also great clothes, boots, and more. But anything for your garden, if you want to, you know, get into growing your own food, they've got you there. If you've got animals, not just dogs and cats, but you know, pigs, chickens, the more exotic stuff, they've even got kangaroo feed there. I'm not kidding. So they've got you covered, home appliances, home improvement, and more. And also America's Tractor, John Deere. If you're just like me and have a yard, they've got zero turns for 0%. And then the bigger stuff, they have commercial mowers, also 0%. Compact tractors, 5-series tractors, all of it 0%, varying months, but all of it 0%, 1.9% for the Gator as well. And they are just like you. They're not just salespeople that are just trying to make a buck. They're people that will relate directly to you. That is a cool part when you go to Scruggs. It's when you're asking a question, they're not giving you a stock answer. They will be able to say, well, in my yard, I use this. You know what I mean? Or on my land, I use this. It's real people, real good people, and they will take care of you at Scruggs. Go by and see them and tell them that it was me that sent you there. All right. Where should we start? Let's start with the Chucky Mullins. Centarian Perkins wins the Chucky Mullins Courage Award. They put the video out there over the weekend. And we'll start with Perkins, and then we will start with the big picture thoughts that I have. A very apt recipient of the award. Kind of a rare player in today's college football, as you guys know this already. In-state five-star, multi-year starter, could have left multiple times. I mean, every program in the country, I promise you, was trying to take him away from Ole Miss, and he did not. And you don't see that very much. A guy that stuck with one program the entire time and has played great football, multi-year starter. It just makes sense that somebody like him is awarded something like this, on top of being a good player. Clearly, his teammates and his coaches think highly of him as a person as well, to be able to get such an honor like that one. So really cool stuff there. I don't know. He might be. I have no idea. But this is something that I've said, I think, the last few Chucky Mullins winners. I hope he wears the jersey. Because, in my opinion, that number 38 should be on the field unless the player that received the award is injured for every Ole Miss game for the rest of time. If a player is unwilling to wear the jersey, I think that they should give the award to somebody that will wear it. That story is just so powerful and is so essential to the history of Ole Miss football. And over the last few years, it kind of felt like it wasn't emphasized the way it should be, in my opinion. That number should matter so much to the program. And hearing, watching the video and hearing Perkins talk about it, it's clear that he understands the gravity of what that means, which is a really cool thing. But the story of Chucky Mullins and how important that is to the history of Ole Miss football and the courage and the rallying around him, the stories about the fans passing buckets around the stadium to raise money for his treatment and everything that has come with that. I think that number should be on the field, worn on the field for every Ole Miss game for the rest of time. And so I hope that that happens this year, and a deserving player, no doubt. And what I think is cool about Centarian Perkins and a bunch of other players on this team, and why I think that this should be a celebrated team and looked at a little bit differently than most of them, because, I mean, we don't need to rehash what this era is and all that stuff, but you guys know that every single one of the players that chose to stay were given the opportunity to go somewhere else. And when I bring stuff like this up on the radio show, you'll get people that'll say things like, well, they're paid. Of course they wanted to stay. As if somebody like Centarian Perkins couldn't have commanded, top dollar from any school in the country. I'm so curious to see what his usage will be this year. I keep seeing people say that he's going to rush the passer a little bit more this year. And maybe that's a product of they think they're better at safety, they think they're better at linebacker, so they can just start sending him again. But I don't think the most efficient use of Centarian Perkins is just lining him up against a tackle and just letting him run at a tackle. So I'm curious to see how creative they get with how they get him to rush the passer. Now, when you've got some of these running quarterbacks that they've got on the schedule, I mean, Sam Levitt in week three is athletic, super athletic. And so, will he be used in a spy role on a guy like that? I don't know. I'm curious to see how they use him, because last year was a little bit different than the year before. And so what will this season look like? They keep talking about, again, more pass rush for him. I'm excited to see what that looks like, because he's super versatile, as he proved last year. So how will they use that versatility when they have no doubt improved at linebacker? We'll see. I don't know. But guys like him, guys like Will Echols, Cam Franklin, I know they're both transfers, but Kewan Lacy and Deuce Alexander and Trinidad, and I mean, even guys like Bryson Sanders. I promise you, Bryson Sanders could have gone basically anywhere and gotten a lot of money to go play, and he chose not to. I mean, you've got freaking everybody. Forgive, I put that so eloquently, but everybody that chose to stay could have gone somewhere else for a lot of money. This is a really high-quality roster, and they chose to stay despite the coaching change. And I think in this era, it would have been so easy to just, I came here for Lane, I'm out. I don't think the program's going to be as good, I'm out. And all of them have committed back to you. In an era where you don't get that very much, you have a roster full of guys that committed back to you. So, you know, you're asked to give your money. You're asked to donate to collectives. You're asked to step up financially. Now your growth tents cost more. Like, you're doing all this. You're stepping up in so many ways. And now you have a roster of a bunch of guys that decided to give, like, almost reward the program back, if that makes sense. Again, I know they're getting paid. I'm not naive. I know they're getting paid a lot of money. But again, Kewon Lacy could have gotten millions of dollars to go play anywhere else in the country. Like, full stop, without a doubt. Centarian Perkins could have gotten a seven-figure check to go play anywhere in the country. Anywhere in the country would have taken him. And all of these guys chose to stay where they are. And I think that matters. It being this era makes that matter more. In the past, when coaching changes happened, players had no choice. They had to stick exactly where they were. Every single one of the players on your team that were on your team last year made the decision to stay with you. They had all of the options, and they recommitted back to you. And I think that's cool. I think that matters. And I think that whatever happens with this team, that should be recognized and understood, that you went through a coaching change, and in that transition, all these guys stuck with you. I think that matters a lot and is really cool. And I mean, hearing even some of the newcomers like Keaton Thomas talk, if you guys haven't watched that video, I would encourage you to go watch it. What a smart and well put together young man that guy is. But he recognizes the culture that remained even through a coaching change. And listen to all the players talk about that. And, you know, it's camp buzzword stuff. And some of it needs to be taken with a grain of salt. But considering the decision that all these guys made, I believe them. I think that, you know, the togetherness and the way that those guys came together at the end of last season was an indicator of roster character. And if that is anything on this year's team resembling what they had at the end of last season, this team's going to go a long way. So, really good stuff, and it's a team worth celebrating because they all had a choice, and they made the one to stay, which I think is significant. Second thing, Chase Parham was first. Archie Manning going to get a statue, apparently next to the Manning Center. I don't exactly know where it's going to be. If anybody's going to get a statue around, you know, the facility, Archie Manning makes the most sense. One of the most iconic players in the history of the program. I mean, he and his family have given a very significant amount of money to the university. They give back in a lot of ways. The Manning name is synonymous with Ole Miss, and it started with Archie. And the old-timers, especially the ones that listen to the radio show, the things that they say about Archie is, I mean, the legend status was earned. And if you're, you know, I didn't get to see Archie Manning play. And if you're younger than me, you may not understand the context of his performances and how he played in the era in which he played, and then what the Manning name has done for Ole Miss ever since. Of course, he's getting a statue. Like, there aren't many people in Ole Miss football history that are even in the conversation of deserving of a statue after Archie, you know? I mean, you have the Mullins bust there, which, of course, is perfect exactly where it is with the message on it. You've got the Vaught statue. He won national championships. Archie Manning deserves one as well, and it's good to see that he's going to get it. That reminded me, though, I have this take, and I'm going to die on this hill, and I think a lot of you guys will agree with me on this. It's something that I think Ole Miss can do and should do. You've heard me say it before. And I think it would help, you know, put lipstick on the pig, which is Vaught-Hemingway Stadium right now. We don't need to rehash this. You all love Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. There's a lot of great memories there. But the people that did all of the stadium projects over the years did not do it with any foresight. You have four different stadiums in one. I think Ross Bjork kind of half-assed his two projects there, and they're having to make up for that. And it's not the most aesthetically pleasing stadium. The home side press box in particular, I think, it needs a facelift. Because right now, just what's written on it, I know that's old school, but it doesn't even say the stadium name. It just says home of the Ole Miss Rebels, and it's just painted on there. And I would stop retiring jerseys, and I would create a Ring of Honor. And now, I guess it wouldn't technically be a ring, but I think that press box would be a perfect space for guys that are not worthy necessarily of a jersey retirement, not worthy necessarily of a statue, but guys that I think are needing to be memorialized in the stadium forever. And then there's like even a tier below where you have something around or the outside of the stadium. Like Ohio State has, they call it the Buckeye Grove. Every time they get an All-American, they plant a Buckeye tree outside of the stadium. Something like that would be really cool. But a guy like a Deuce McAllister, I think his name belongs on the stadium, on that press box, up there with his jersey number and his name on that press box, because there's so much just empty space anyway. And I do think that you have a lot of players that deserve that kind of recognition on the stadium. Deuce McAllister is one of those guys. You can use a more modern example if you want. I think Laremy Tunsil, with the NFL career that he's had, is that kind of a guy. A.J. Brown will be that kind of a guy. D.K. Metcalf, there's a lot of players that I think belong on your stadium forever. And that would be a great place for that. So not everybody deserves a statue. Archie clearly does. Not everybody deserves their jersey retired, but there's a lot of players that need to have their name on the stadium somewhere. And so that's what I would do. That's what I would do is that. So anyway, a lot of comments. We'll get to those for the next 15 minutes or so. After I tell you about Logan Smith Shelter Insurance, I actually have to give Logan Smith a call tomorrow. Don't let me forget. I have to give Logan Smith a call tomorrow. I've got to talk to them about a couple of things. I need to add some insurance, and he'll take care of me. It'll be quick. I'll deal with great people. I'll get great rates because that's what they do. Auto, home, life, or insurance for your business. He's with Shelter. Logan Smith will take care of you. Tell him it was me that sent you when you call him. 601-823-3500. 601-823-3500. 601-823-3500. Logan Smith Shelter Insurance will take care of you. Also, Priority One Bank. They make you their priority with 16 locations, local loan servicing and decision-making. Online banking platform is outstanding. There's one near me. You might see me there if you bank with me nearby at Priority One Bank. Also, Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com, for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. To the comments we go. I'm a Falcons fan. Wanted to say you're happy for Breeze. Hope Matt Ryan can get in as well, despite not ever winning a Super Bowl. Wait, what? Hold on, the Falcons didn't win a Super Bowl? I went to bed when they were playing the Patriots. It was 28-3. You must be forgetting. The Falcons won that. I'm kidding. No, it was Drew Brees is one of the rare players that was instrumental in like the resurrection of a city after. I mean, how many players have ever really been in the position that he's been in? The Saints, look, I didn't grow up a Saints fan. My how did you become a fan story is horrendous when it comes to the Saints. It involves moving here, getting a crappy little apartment that only came with a few channels, and it had Fox Sports New Orleans so I could watch the Pelicans every night. And for the NFL on Sundays, I watched the Saints, and I was like, I love the city. City's awesome. Don't really have an NFL team. I'm a Saints fan now. Who dat? And it turned into devotion almost right away. But so I don't have that special connection the way that, people that went through that disaster and had, it felt like the city was never going to come back for a period of time. I've read a lot about that how that team and that franchise staying and playing helped inspire a city to continue, move and inspired a group of people to that you know, life is worth living, and to not pick up and leave and rebuild instead of relocate and those kind of things. And so the fact that he not only, you know, was there for that and played great football, but won a Super Bowl and helped save a city is unbelievable, because how many players have ever been involved in something like that? Not many. So that was really cool. Perkins, in your opinion, was the only choice for the 38. Cam Franklin, I think, would have been a good candidate. Very similar story, as a guy that, you know, from Mississippi, been around. There weren't many options that would fit the kind of mold that Perkins is in. I think Perkins is one of the only players on defense where his jersey sells too much to change his number to 38. I get that. I would assume, though, a switch to 38 would have a lot of people buying Perkins 38 jerseys, too. I'm just surprised, to be honest with you, I'm surprised that there's not just a bunch of Ole Miss fans walking around in a number 38 jersey every year. You know, like, trust me, I get the desire to buy player jerseys, especially little kids. But, you know, the 38 will never go bad, right? You don't have a situation where you buy a Judkins jersey and he transfers. The 38's timeless. I'm just and the story behind that as well. I'm just surprised that's not just more of a generic thing. I mean, here's a great money making idea: hats with the number 30, just a blue hat with the red number 38. There you go, make money. I don't understand why that's not more of a thing. I think that number is just so synonymous with Ole Miss football that number should be everywhere, all the time. I'm not going to say anything more, because I'm going to come up with these ideas. I'm going to print the shirts and the hats and stuff myself, all right? So actually don't – you didn't hear any of that. Exciting times. Yes, they are. 38 should be worn as a number every game. Always should be a 38 on the field every game. I agree. Unless he's injured, and then he'll be wearing it on the sidelines anyway. With Perkins now having a fifth year, what are the odds you think he will be back the following year? That's a good question, because he's too small to play a real like an end in the NFL. He's more linebacker size, and even still, he's a little skinny. But if he has a great year, I think he's gone. It's well earned. A 5-star Mississippi recruit who I've played 4 years at Ole Miss and been a class act as the face of your defense, and has a lot of. Like iconic plays as well, like big moments, not just on the field, but like he's made big plays and big moments too. If Dorian Barney ends up taking meaningful snaps at DB, this might be the best secondary they've ever had. I mean, gosh, the defensive back room keeps sounding better and better. With Crawford and you have Kite back, and you have Barney, and then, they're 4 or 5 deep right now there. It's really impressive. Porky, you know I'm a state guy, but what do you make of Ole Miss losing to a team in an exhibition game in basketball that Ohio State beat by 30? You can't get me to think about basketball right now. They played all the freshmen significant minutes. I don't know. I mean, in a scrimmage last year, they beat Houston. So, I mean, well, what did that tell us? I can't think about basketball right now. No way. Archie finally got a statue on campus. That's awesome. Warms your heart. Should. No more 38 patches, please. I agree. Not to mention Perkins signed on the first staff that had Golding on it in 23. I forgot about that. Watched some Levitt tape yesterday. That's a guy who loves to hold on to the football and try to scramble around in the pocket. Would think Perkins could play into that a lot. Man, Sam Levitt is so talented and so athletic, and his games, there will be moments of brilliance where he'll make a guy miss and then throw just a perfect, beautiful deep ball. And then two plays later, he'll do a scramble drill and throw across his body and make a stupid decision. Lane has got his hands full to get bad habits out of him. If he can, then look out. Levitt's going to be a stud. But it's not like Kenny Dillingham is some kind of bum when it comes to coaching quarterbacks. He is most certainly not. And he's got some bad habits. So if Lane can get those bad habits out of him, he's going to be good. But there's a lot to love and there's a lot to hate at the same time. But he's super talented. Manning family literally made you an Ole Miss fan. Eli on the Giants. An Ole Miss made me a Ole Miss fan. Eli on the Giants. So, wow, I have no idea what you're trying to say there. Sorry. I also can't read. Yeah, he deserves it, though. He absolutely deserves it. Are you the only one who wanted Echols to get the number? I love Perkins, and he does deserve it. Either one would have been... Those three guys on the defensive line, any one of them, would have been good. No idea where they're going to put the statue. All we know is by the Manning Center, but I don't quite know what that means. I mean, I think there's some space, right? Hold on. There is some space on the outside of it. That's probably where they're going to put it, in that area where you have like the glass front, the space in between the Manning Center and then the entrance to the club section in the south end zone. It's got to be there, somewhere there, right? I would think so. If they give Archie a statue, then how do you not give Eli a statue? Might be coming. I wouldn't be surprised if that shows up down the road as well, especially considering he will be a Hall of Famer. Have you been hearing Braxton's name keep getting brought up by so many people in and around the program? I'm so excited for this defense. I truly think it may end up one of the top units in the conference. Yeah, man, and that's a guy I didn't even mention a second ago with the defensive back room. It sounds like the back end of the defense, they have more depth than they had, especially last season. I mean, people are making the comparisons to 24. Pete Golding talked about it at Media Days, that in terms of ceiling, they have a similar ceiling, and he did the coach thing where, you know, they're not close to that yet, and they've got to work harder and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, talent-wise, they have, on paper, talent-wise, upgraded at linebacker. They have upgraded at safety, and they got deeper at defensive back. You were impressed with Keaton's interviews? He's really impressive, like Sharif's interview as well. I need to go watch that. I have not seen that yet, but Keaton Thomas is impressive all around. Perkins off the edge, if they play him there, could be big against Louisville. Seems like a big physical mismatch there, and they have a brand new quarterback. Yeah, that's a guy making his first real game action, and his first start could be in for a long day. Also, Louisville's running back, now weeks till the first game, has started training camp injured. Now, he's dressing out and doing sideline work, but anyway. What constitutes a statue? Because in your opinion, someone like Patrick Willis deserves a statue because of his Hall of Fame career. See, that's the big question is what do you do? Frankly, you guys might think it's tacky. I wouldn't be opposed to lots of them. I think it would be really cool down the road to like be able to take your kids to games and have that type of walk to go through. Like, I'm big on memorializing history, especially in sports. I think that getting people to connect with the program on a deeper level beyond just the team that is currently playing is valuable. That's why I think they should have a ring of honor, and they should constantly do things to remind people of who these players were and the type of games that they played in and the type of players that they were. So I would almost overdo it. Maybe not, again, maybe not necessarily statues, but some kind of memorialization, some kind of walk of fame type thing where, you know, the history of the program is not lost on people. I think that matters a lot because that is how, that's another way to get people to connect to your program. And, you know, there's a deeper conversation to be had about this, but as Ole Miss continues to bring in kids from not only out of state, but out of the region, I think that immersing them in the history of the place will allow them to care about it more, or at least hopefully inspire them to care about it more. The last thing you want, in my opinion, is a bunch of people from New York coming down and just living here for 4 years and disappearing and never giving back to the program. And I don't just mean football. I mean the school, never giving back and never feeling connected to it, that it was just a place to go. And, I mean, you can't bat a thousand on that. But I hope that the school is really making an effort as they continue to attract out-of-state kids, because, you know, when you're winning in sports and there's all kinds of political stuff happening with northern universities and people want to escape that, Ole Miss looks like a great place to go to school and you have a good time. And, I mean, there's a lot of good academic, you know, all the things. But I hope for the future of the institution that Ole Miss is doing a good job of inspiring these people to connect with the place and not lose said connection with the place. And you can do that from an institutional level, and you can do that in sports. And I think that they can do a better job in the athletic department of shining lights on the historical figures of the place. I think everybody there could do a better job of that, and I hope that they are. Why shouldn't Kewon Lacy return punts? Deuce McAllister did. I think that you should. I mean, there are other dynamic players on the roster that can do that are not as important to winning as Kewon Lacy is. And punters today are just getting so good, and the opportunity to actually return punts are fewer and further between. And I think it's an unnecessary risk. I don't think he's actually going to return punts very often, if at all. So, you know, it's not worth really talking about too much, but you've got plenty of dynamic players on that team that are not as instrumental in winning and losing. And I think you want to reduce the number of hits that he takes unnecessarily as much as possible. Have they put the playoff logo on the stadium yet? I've not seen it, but I haven't been yet either. So, Laramie Tunsil is probably the best player at a single position to ever play at Ole Miss. He could get something. Same with Treadwell, AJ Brown, McCluster. Exactly. See now you're picking up what I'm putting down there. What's your favorite position group on defense going into this season? Ooh, that's a good question. Linebacker. Linebacker. I think there is something so infectious about watching quality linebacker play that I don't know how many. I mean, I guess like an elite wide receiver, I don't know. But, and maybe it's because I played linebacker too, but there is something about when you've got a tandem of high-level linebackers that is just such a joy to watch. I mean, you guys, to use a recent example, you remember Chance Campbell and Mark Robinson. How much fun were they to watch play football, man? And I think you've got a chance at a duo like that where, I mean, they're just all over the field and physical and nasty and fun. So linebacker. Linebacker is the position group that I'm most excited to watch this season. Is that. Where would you rank each position group on how much you trust next season? Okay. Ooh, that's good. Quarterback one, trust him the most. Easy number one. Running back, easy number two. linebacker number 3, receiver tight end 4 and 5, I think. Actually, put defensive backs ahead of those two, receiver, tight end. That's too hard. Because I think at defensive tackle, they're going to be really good. I would have to tier those. Let me think on that a little. That's a good question, though. You should pull up this schedule on ESPN and look at some of the ticket prices for Ole Miss games this season. It's absolutely ridiculous. The season ticket holders are getting great, great value for Ole Miss this season. And yes, there were people that got left out. I hope that they didn't get bought out by people looking to profit. I generally believe, as you know, here I am talking about free markets and government intervention and stuff. And on the flip side, I think that schools should perform audits of their seats and who they're selling tickets to. I think schools should do everything they can to make sure that their seats are filled with their fans and their fans only. Not too dissimilar to what Augusta National does, to be honest with you. There are people that only need 4 season tickets, but buy 6 so they can sell the other 2. And I would, if they're within their rights to do this. There's the other argument where I buy my tickets, I can do what I want with them. Well, I sell the tickets, I can dictate who they go to as well. I guess would be the 2 sides of that argument. But I do think that schools should take note of if there are opposing fans, not in the specific allotted seats for opposing fans, they need to figure out how that happened and make sure that does not happen consistently. Like if you have friends that are whatever, or if there are people, like I hung out with a group of Lehigh fans back when I was in college that came just because they wanted to see a game at Ole Miss. Like, okay, like that's fine. But if every week you've got opposing fans sitting in the same seats, I would consider taking those seats away from the people that own them. AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, Willis, Mike Hilton. Mike Hilton's a great one. Eli Archie, Jackson Dart Corral in 2 years, Lacey Trinidad Perkins, Will, etc. These are guys who should be in the Ring of Honor. There you go. You're with me. You are with me. It would cost you on average $800 to $900 bare minimum to go to the LSU and Missouri games. It's insane. It is absolutely insane. That if you bought season tickets 7 years ago and you've just kept renewing, you are sitting pretty right now. You don't think they sell 38 Nike jerseys anymore? Could be wrong. That's a travesty. If you can, it's only 1 in 10 then player numbers. See, that's a problem to me. Whoever's involved in, I need to not say things or I'll get in trouble, but whoever's involved in that needs to fix that. The fact that you can't right now go buy a generic 38 Ole Miss jersey is wrong. Like that needs to be fixed. That really needs to be fixed. That anyway, DHgate. There you go. Can you blame the people contacting students trying to get tickets through them? It's impossible to afford this stuff. I would never want to sit in a student section at my age, though. Always so depressed for work on Sundays, and then these late night streams cheer you up. Thanks for all you do. Oh, man, I don't do anything special, but appreciate you. You make Sunday nights better. I don't know. What's gotten into you guys? Why are you guys being so nice tonight? I need some hate on the comments page. I need to start. I need to humble myself before the season begins. Not a betting guy, but you really like Ole Miss -6.5 against Louisville. If it stays there, even breaking the new offense in, I'd have faith the Ole Miss defense gets the stops. Yeah, me too. I mean, because the defense is unchanged, right? And I mean, I know it's a new offense, but it's not particularly new, and it's still the same quarterback. It's still the same running back. It's still the same interior three on the offensive line, et cetera. So, who's calling the plays? The coach or the OC? So, new OC, John David Baker, will call plays on offense. Pete Golding still going to call plays on defense. And they've got Joe Judge to kind of be like the game day coach, like kind of manager type guy. So, if anyone else gets a statue, it should be DK Metcalf, arguably the most physically imposing Ole Miss receiver ever. But here's the problem, though. At Ole Miss, he was not as productive as a handful of others. More than a handful of others. It is due at some point soon to get the stadium to crack 70K capacity. The demand is there for it. Yeah, I wouldn't go. I would go to 70 and stop, but yes. Connerly's another one. Yes, Bruiser Kennard. I mean, those are the kind of people that, I mean, if you're a young Ole Miss student coming in from New York or whatever, Charlie Connerly's a really cool story and a really interesting guy. Would you ever hear his name? Would you ever see his name? And again, I know most 18-year-olds don't give a crap about that kind of stuff, but it just being around, more around, more visible. When they go to the stadium, they look up at the press box and they see a bunch of names. I mean, I did that at my first Saints game, looking at the Ring of Honor. I started Googling these guys because, I mean, I haven't been a Saints fan forever, and a lot of them played before I was born. And so it's like, okay, who is this guy? Oh, interesting. He did this. And suddenly, boom, it's more connection. So those kind of names need to just be around, be visible. You're of the opinion that they should make the end zone symmetrical, and with all the people who stay in the Grove while they play, you think you could easily put 80K? You probably could, but you don't want there to be visible empty seats very often, and you don't want to give yourself the opportunity to have more opposing fans in your stadium if you don't have the demand for that. Typo for the ages. I think YouTube might demonetize me if I read it, but think Bo Wallace, and I'm going to read it anyway. Joining late, but I think Bo Wallace and Dexter Molester would be excellent choices in the Ring of Honor. Patriot Rebel, autocorrect got you bad on that one. oh, hold on. Oh, sorry. Oh my gosh. You only get to start six players between defensive line and linebacker. If Thomas, Ferrelli, and Perkins all start, who starts besides Eccles and Franklin? Well, I think they might provide multiple looks. I mean, you're going to have times where there's four defensive linemen and Perkins on the field. I think that'll happen, but it'll depend. It'll depend on down and distance, opponent, things like that. So, do they have a kicking problem with the Saints? I don't think so. I don't think so. But they're in a weird transition after the Morstead-Lutz thing, huh? Charlie Smith's going to be fine. Probably a shot in the dark. Is there a scenario where the white-red jerseys are gone for good? I hope not. I hope not. Feels to you like a 31-17 type win against Louisville. And the radio audience, you know, it's Facebook's an interesting place. Posted a video from the radio show on Facebook where I'm just saying, hey, you know, everybody's talking about LSU week three. Louisville's, I mean, they're going to be good on the lines of scrimmage. They're well coached. They're talented. They've got a quality running back. If Ole Miss doesn't play well, they're going to lose the game. You should have seen the comments on Facebook. You're just so stupid, and everybody has to have a take. It's like, guys, they'll be ranked. Ole Miss is less than a touchdown favorite at the moment. It's a good team. And so instead of getting mad about, hey, the team you're playing is good, which again makes no sense, but that's Facebook for you. If Ole Miss goes up to Nashville and plays well and dominates the game, we come back here on Monday, well, on Sunday for this, but on Monday on the radio show, we come back on Monday and talk about how impressive of a win that was. It's another thing. I don't understand the overrated chant. It makes no sense to me. You just beat like a ranked team, and what you're saying is, you know, our win isn't good. Like, don't you want your opponents to be good and properly rated so when you beat them, you look good? I mean, I don't understand that phenomenon. Louisville's, it's a good program. They were a good team last year. They beat Miami last year, something Ole Miss could not do. They have an elite running back. They'll be good up front. They're talented. They're well coached. That's all true. And so if Ole Miss wins that game, we come back here and talk about how impressive Ole Miss is. I don't understand the, well, the opponent sucks. Well, then if Ole Miss beats a bad team, we come back here and say, ah, well, they were bad. Who cares? It makes no sense to me. But again, that's Facebook. Loved Mike Hilton on the Bengals when he was there. He was electric, man. He is pound for pound, the best football player I've ever watched. Pound for pound. Had no business physically on an SEC football field, and yet he was, I mean, he made every play, never made mistakes, sure tackler. He had no business physically being on an NFL field, and yet there he was. Think 72K is a good number. When it's fully packed, it'll be close to 75, and that's perfect. As long as the bigger, you keep bringing in more students, as long as they are willing to come back, you're on to something. Are they getting a new Realtree helmet this year? I would assume so. I've seen some pictures. I don't know if they're real or not, but all the pictures I've seen of, and I'm not talking about like concepts on Twitter. If they are what they're getting, you guys are going to like them, but I don't know if that's real or not. You can't wear a navy helmet or gray pants with the road powders. No, you got to get rid of those. Got to get rid of those. Dexter McCluster just assaulted guys' ankles every game. You were at the game at Auburn when he almost single-footedly brought us back from being down a lot. He was so awesome. And another guy that physically had no business being on a field, but yet he just strong and elusive and great vision and all that. Keep the same helmet as last year. It's the best one so far. That was a good one. I did like the white with the powder one, though. I did like that one a lot. Don't get the sudden hate for powder blue you're seeing online. I love navy and red, but powder just pops. I think a lot of that is people know that Lane liked it. The powder shouldn't go anywhere. I do think it went too far. You stopped looking like Ole Miss when you're wearing the white jersey with the powder accents and the white pants. And it's like, what, you know, what team is that on the field? You stopped looking like you. I think it should be, I mean, a primary color because of the story that it has. But I don't think it should be the only color. Devin Sneed's another guy that should be in the Ring of Honor. See? There you go. There you go. Louisville is definitely going to be a serious threat for their conference this year. Definitely have to be locked in for that game. I think they will be. You're right. Everybody that's gotten behind a microphone that either coaches for or plays for that team has acknowledged the threat that Louisville is. So when I brought that up, I wasn't saying that, you know, they're not going to be ready. But if they don't play well and execute, Louisville can and will beat them. I think they'll be locked in. I think they'll be ready to play. I think they're better. But it's just acknowledging that, you know, too many people are just, oh, LSU, LSU, LSU. You've got a big challenge in front of you in week one. And that's okay. That's a good thing, actually, to get tested before that big emotional game coming up in week three. That's a good thing. like the powder helmet with the numbers on the side. I liked that. Those were a pretty good throwback as well. Never get on Twitter, and the first time you do, you see people hating on the Sugar Bowl ring. That was some of the dumbest. See, this is why you got to avoid Twitter at all costs, because when Ole Miss puts out their Sugar Bowl ring that the Sugar Bowl gives out, people on that godforsaken website pretended like that was not an annual thing. Every team that's won an Access Bowl, including the almighty LSU, has gotten rings for it. It's been a thing forever. Bowl rings have been a thing forever. Nick Saban's Alabama gave out bowl rings. Like, it's been a thing, and it's just the... And it's, but the problem is it starts with media first, and then you just get like the, you know, the discourse of morons that follow. But this contract thing has opened my eyes to a lot of, it's intentional. It's intentionally misleading in order to generate engagement. Bowl rings have been a thing forever. Everybody with a functioning brain that has been a fan of the sport knows that, but it doesn't matter. Anyway. If they lose to Louisville, the season will be a disaster. Yes, it would. Yes, it would. Yeah, I don't know about a red helmet, guys. I'd have to see one. I'd have to really see it in person before that. Your 21 Bengals heartbreak, Mike Hilton era fresh joke. You're a Bengals fan. How did that happen? On Three is just straight up clickbait slop at this point. At a national level, yes. I'm not talking about the guys here locally, nationally, with what they do, and they've got good people that work there, like Wilson Alexander. I think he's really good at what he does. Andy Staples, I think he's really good at what he does. You know, there's a lot of people that work there that do good work, but their strategy of the way that they promote their work, to me, it's a big problem. I mean, you saw it at Media Days. They misrepresented a Pete Golding quote to make him look bad. When you read the quote, it was really good. But they intentionally, in order to make a big graphic with big words to generate engagement, they do that intentionally, and it's frustrating because people only read headlines, and it starts conversations that are inaccurate or incomplete, and it discredits the work of the good people that do good work there also, and the strategy that is most bothersome to me is not even their new partnership with Polymarket, which is a problem in and of itself. When you're the ones that, like, you have a partner of a prediction market, and your information when it comes to coaching searches or anything can manipulate that market, you got a problem. It's conflict of interest. I mean, anybody can have a sportsbook partner because, you know, I can't manipulate the lines with what I say, right? I never would. I couldn't, no matter what. But a Pete Nakos report can manipulate the market in Polymarket about a coaching search. That can happen. It's not standard gambling. It's different, and it can be manipulated. And even standard gambling is, you know, a conversation, but we have a sportsbook partner on the radio show, and that's okay. Maybe I'm just trying to justify it myself, but I think it's fine because I can't manipulate the lines that they put out. I literally cannot do it. The people that set the lines know more than I do, and they don't have a prediction market there. It's just a true sportsbook that you have to go in person to see. You have to verify that you're a legal adult because you walk in the doors there. You've got 16-year-olds on these prediction markets, and these markets can be manipulated with a report or hearing or whatever. Anyway, but that's a problem. But the strategy of they'll get an article. You saw it with the Lane Kiffin stuff where he did the week of, you know, explaining in different ways why he left after the Vanity Fair article didn't go well. Get one article from On3, and for the next few days, they put new. Lane Kiffin says this, but it was all back to the article that was written days or a week before. And they're still calling the quote, it's new, but it's not new. And so they make Kiffin look bad, even though he's not saying new things 100 times to On3. It's the same one article, but for days, it's new. Kiffin says this, but it's not new. That kind of stuff. It's all intentionally done in ways that I think is unbecoming of a place with such a large platform and responsibility. But commentators are fine. Bloggers and all that are fine. But when you claim to be the journalism outlet and you're doing reporting, partnering with a prediction market, or intentionally clickbaiting, it's a problem. Idiot with a radio show? It's fine. I can't manipulate things. Real reporters whose information people live, like they truly like hang on every word? You got to be more careful, and I don't think they are. But anyway, I appreciate you guys. We'll be back on Tuesday night. We'll be back on Tuesday night. Really, really appreciate you guys as always. It'll be a long day. We'll be in Starkville, but I will get back in time to go live with you guys. So I'll see you then. Y'all have a good night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.